Hello and welcome to the Dotball Cricket Podcast. This is the South African Cricket Podcast, concentrating not just on our Proteas competing at home and abroad, but also on the domestic game here in South Africa. And it's a very great pleasure for me to welcome once again our two former Proteas on the Dotball Podcast, John Kent and Paul Harris. Good day to you, gentlemen. It's a very exciting time for South African cricket at the moment. The Proteas men's team are in England, and we've got a test series starting next week. Always great excitement when South Africa and England play test cricket. But we've also just come off a white ball series against England and a couple of T20s against Ireland. South Africa drawing the ODI series 1-1, with the third game being washed out. And then what I thought was a particularly superb T20 series win over England, winning that series 2-1, and then they won both matches against Ireland. Paul, let's start with you. What did you take away from those white ball series?
Look, I think that first of all, to sort of win a series there is a pretty good, very good effort. I don't think the sort of brave cricket tag that they were sort of branding around, I know, albeit in the more in test than in white ball, I didn't think many people gave us too much of a chance. But we certainly did play some very good cricket. I think the first game was a bit of a, to forget the first game, I think we dropped 300 catches and just didn't play well. That can happen. That can happen in cricket. You can just, you can just have an off day where everyone is just off and you can catch a hammering. But then, typical South African style, we, under the pump, and we sort of came back and played some very good cricket. It was great to see, certain guys. Reeza Hendricks, I think, was a standout. I kind of thought, he proved me wrong as well. I didn't think that he was the sort of guy to open at the top of the order in T20 cricket, and he proved me wrong. And played superbly well against a good bowling lineup. And just an all-round, I thought a very all-round good effort. Adam Markram was superb. And then the way that Shamsi came back after taking, having an absolute nightmare in the first game, what people got to realise is a leg spinner on a small ground like that, it can happen. He didn't bowl well, he bowled too short. But to come back and show the sort of champion cricketer that he is after that was great to see. So, good signs for the South African team. Maybe now a few good headaches when it comes to selection. You have a lot of players playing well. I thought Ngidi was superb with the ball as the seamers, and it looks like we've got all our bases covered.
Yeah, John, just on Reeza Hendricks, just a well-deserved player of the series in the T20s, both T20 series. What do you think is behind that? He's really kind of reinvented himself, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think a couple of years ago from those first editions of the MSL, he played for the Jersey Stars and he got 300s off the reel, and that was outstanding and obviously elevated him into that national setup. He's been in and around the squad for some time, like Aaron mentioned. He's been around for some time. He's been given a lot of opportunities, and it's good that he's taken it with both hands in this tournament. Who knows if Themba Bavuma comes back into the squad, replaces him, what's going to happen there? That's a big question. My biggest question of how the coaching staff's going to work this out. De Kock, obviously, he even had a laugh at himself on Instagram saying he got the TFC award. Good series, but he got the TFC award. So he's got a sense of humor about it. And that's the kind of guy he is. You won't get too fussed about that. We know his class and he'll come back strongly. But I think Paul touched on Ngidi. I was really impressed. The commentators also mentioned it quite a lot, is that that slow ball that he bowled, that off-cutter, hardly anyone is able to pick it. And normally, an off-cutting slow delivery, those are the ones you see quite easily. But he disguises it well. He hit good areas, even though, as mentioned before, we got off to an absolute shocker of a start. Bairstow's, summer continued. He's had a wonderful time of it. But, kicking out of there, I think we really did well. Good problems to have in that batting order now with the likes of Rousseau, Stubbs, Miller, Markram, three. Loving him there. He's done really well. So there's some really good finishes. Maybe someone like a Rassie van der Dussen might come under a little bit of pressure, even though he adapts well in most situations. the arrival of Rousseau, the arrival of Stubbs into that middle order or top order, where vice versa. You know, those guys are serious match winners. You've got to be honest with you. Riley Rousseau and Stubbs, they come off you winning the game. So their reputations just keep enhancing. Obviously now moving across to the test cricket, very excited. You know, Lords as well kicking off not long to go till that happens. So, you know, hopefully hearing Rabada had a slight ankle injury, but they're obviously hoping he regains fitness for that first test.
Paul, well, just on Lungi Ngidi first, I agree. He was absolutely superb with the white ball. What I was also very pleased to see was that he actually was he's got his pace back as well. You know, a lot of the time when he wasn't bowling slower balls, he was pushing 140, which is fantastic to see. Paul, just staying with the bowlers, I just wanted to go back to something you said about Tabay Shamsi in that first game, where I think he went for 49 runs and 3 overs. Real shocker. But there was a really short, straight boundary in that game. And it was obvious that he was a bit freaked out by that, hence he bowled too short. But as a spinner, how easy is it to get maybe a bit too carried away with things like field dimensions, you know, to kind of lose the plot a bit because he's so worried about one short boundary?
Look, I think coming into the game, he was probably, well, not probably, I think he was definitely short in confidence anyway. You know, he probably hadn't been bowling as well as he has before. Too many short balls. I think Shamsi's better when he gets the ball up there. He generally gives it a bit of air, allows his sort of, you know, his other one, his googly, to take effect. When he's bowling it sort of into the wickets, back of a length, it sits up and allows people to sort of, you know, carve him over the leg side. So I think it was maybe a bit of both, a lack of confidence, and then also, you know, to compound that, a short boundary. And then, you know, he didn't particularly bowl well to that short boundary either. If it's a short boundary square, then don't bowl short, bowl full. So, you know, it was just one of those days. It can happen, especially as a leg spinner. You know, you can sort of, you know, you can get it wrong. And you got it wrong. And when you get it wrong to those kind of batters in that mood, then you're going to go the distance. And he did. But the important thing is, you know, his ability to bounce back. I think that's been something for me that I never thought that Shamsi had. He was one of those sort of fair-weather cricketers. When things were going his way, he was very good. But when they weren't, he was not great. And for him to come back the way he did and bowl so well and sort of then get a fifer and, you know, it was great to see. I think, you know, him and Kesh together. I mean, Kesh didn't get a lot of wickets in the series, but he didn't go for many runs. And, you know, he gave that glue for the team, that bowling unit. So the two of them together, it's going to be hard to not pick them going forward.
They were a wonderful combination. And Tabay Shamsi bouncing back superbly, as you said, Paul, with 8 wickets in the next 2 games. And certainly showing that once he'd shaken off a bit of the rust, that he's still very much one of the best T20 bowlers in the world. And what a potent combination it is with Keshav Maharaj. Just in terms of selection, though, the T20 World Cup coming up in October, of course. You mentioned it, John, the selection problems. I'm going to put you on the spot. Who is your, let's say, your top four? I think we can all agree that Miller and Stubbs, if, you know, partnering the two of them together towards the end of a T20 is going to be fantastic. They've got to go to the World Cup. But, John, give me your top four for the World Cup.
I'd obviously De Kock's there. I'd go Reeza Hendricks. Then I'd go Markram. After that, I would, I'm trying to work out now. This is the tricky one. Now, I'd even fancy getting Miller in at four. Obviously there's a Claassen, there's a Rousseau. I might get Rousseau in there. Maybe four, get Miller five. And then I'd probably go Stubbs six.
Right. So you dropping the captain, Themba Bavuma. Paul?
Yeah, look, I'm not far off. I'm going with De Kock and Reeza. I think Riley Rousseau is an X factor player. He bats three for me. Then I'd have Markram definitely at four, and then from there you can sort of you know, you can pick and choose depending on the sort of conditions. I think Rassie. I'm just worried about Rassie's starts in T20 cricket. I think he puts too much pressure on others, although he does manage to pick it up towards the end. He just puts too much pressure on the the sort of other guy on the other end, you know, soaking up too many balls. If he can find a way to start quicker, then he's definitely my number five. And then Stubbs at six, and then you can sort of from there go on with your all-rounders and see how you want to do it. But that's sort of where I'm going. I think a huge loss in the test series, not having Bavuma. I'm just not sure that he has the power and the, you know, I don't think T20 suits his game. So unfortunately for me, he misses out.
I think Rassie van der Dussen is definitely under pressure, mostly because of those slow starts. If you look at his T20 stats in 41 matches, he has an excellent average of 36, but his strike rate is 128. And as you say, those slow starts do put those around him under pressure. I do wonder, does Quinton de Kock have an endless length of string? Is he always assured his place on the side? Because there is going to be a lot of pressure, obviously, to pick Themba Bavuma. He is the appointed captain. But yeah, I mean, if he wasn't the captain, for me, you'd have to go de Kock, Reeza Hendricks. You can't leave Reeza out after his performances now. Riley Rousseau at three. I mean, he showed his class. He's world class. And Aidan Markram at four has done an unbelievable job. You've then got Markram, Miller, Stubbs to finish the innings with a guy like Heinrich Klaassen probably scraping into the squad as the reserve wicketkeeper. But there's a lot of explosiveness there for the Proteas to end T20 innings. Just on Themba Bavuma, who's missing the entire Tour of England due to tearing the ligaments in his elbow. Apparently, they're still not sure when he's going to be fit. They hope for the India T20s at the end of September and obviously for the World Cup straight afterwards. But he's not hitting balls yet. So that's going to be an interesting race against time for Themba because, John, if he doesn't play in India, in those T20s, then is it fair to expect him just to come back at a World Cup?
I think this scenario, exact or carbon copy, happened last year as well, before the World Cup, where he was injured, and just didn't get any games under his belt after a long injury, 2 months or so. And then he was brought back into the squad, short of game time, short of form, and match readiness, and it didn't obviously work out well for us. And I think this sort of similar sort of situation is going to happen again, where there's a chance he's not going to have played any cricket for 3 months, but be facing the first ball in the T20 World Cup. And he's that good, you know, Hendricks, like you say, he's flat in the door. There's no door left. So, you know, like, what do you do in this situation? It's a form player, like, been brilliant, de Kock. The problem is, if you drop de Kock, then you need to find another opener. The Klaassen comes in, he bats middle order, so it's a total different dynamic. Now you have to consider. So yeah, it's very tricky.
Yeah, I know some people will talk about Tristan Stubbs being able to keep wicket, but he doesn't do it regularly, and it would be a hell of a ask for him in his first major tournament to take the gloves as well. So yeah, Quinton de Kock, so much class there. I'm pretty sure that he will come right sooner rather than later. Let's move on to the test series, which is starting next week, the first test at Lord's. And Paul, you mentioned it, brave cricket. That's what England are doing these days in test cricket. How are South Africa going to counter that?
Look, I think you won't see too much different from the South African team. You know, we play the patience game in test cricket. We're very disciplined. We sort of hit top of our stump. You know, with the seamers and the spinners, we sort of hold, especially in the first innings. And we wait for the opposition to make a mistake. It's sort of been our way of playing test cricket for quite some time, and it's worked for us. You know, South African cricket captains like control, especially with the ball. And that's what I expect we'll do. I think we'll be very disciplined, we'll hit good areas. Be, I think, way more difficult for the English players to play the expansive game that they did in previous series has gone by. Having said that, the wickets have been pretty good, pretty flat. Interesting to see how the wickets play there now. You know, sort of later on in the season, we should see a bit more spin. You know, later on, sort of getting more into the sort of autumn, is it going to be a bit of rain about? then there'll be a bit more swing. Very difficult to play those sort of shots. So it's going to be interesting to see how they play against our guys. I think given the opportunity, they'll play the same way. But if we can hold our lines and lengths and sort of be the sort of consistent bowling unit we have been for the last little while, I'm sure it'll certainly be more difficult than it was against the sort of other teams that were there. But having said that, they've played very well. That sort of brand of cricket's worked for them so far. There's high risk. We could find them bowled at 52 playing the same way. It'll be exciting, that's for sure. I think we've got all bases covered. We've got some good fast bowlers, a very good spinner or two spinners if we need. And more the sort of worry in South African team is our batting unit and whether we can put enough runs on the board.
Yeah, we'll get back to that. John, South Africa have actually struggled against England, I think, mostly in Test cricket since the return from isolation. We've had some memorable triumphs, but it's always been a really, really tough series against them, especially away from home. What makes it so hard over there?
Oh, I think the conditions they're pretty attuned to. They've played plenty of cricket, throughout the season in all the different formats. They've adapted to conditions pretty well. But saying that, we've been there for quite some time as well. It's not like we've flown in April and got to face some green wickets and is doing a lot. And we're a bit short of match practice. We're having a good match practice started yesterday. The batting unit's getting a hit out in the centre. But I think the general trend that's happened is that the England seamers have normally done a good job, the likes of Broad, Anderson. They've been always so good over the years. The spinning side of it, there seems to be they come and go from time to time. They haven't really stuck with someone for long periods of time. The likes of Abess comes and goes, a few others along the way, Leach now. But I think their power would be from the Stokes, Bairstow, sort of area with a bat. Their top order, there's a couple of inexperienced guys, short on runs up at the top, which could be an opportunity for us. But I agree with her that the batting unit is going to be vitally important. We bat big. And we bat big in the first innings in particular to take the pressure off in those second innings and try and get those English guys out in the centre as long as possible. And once you've got the upper hand in any game or any series, you keep that upper hand. You don't let them come back in because that crowd's massively vocal, huge support, like the 12th player basically. So, yeah, I think this is going to be an unbelievable series.
Paul, back to you. You brought up the batting. And, of course, there's no Themba Bavuma for this test series, and he's been averaging around 50 in recent times in test cricket. How are you going to fill that hole? What's your batting unit looking like for Lords?
Yeah, look, it's a tough one. It's a huge shoes to fill. He's been almost by far our best player in test cricket for a while. And even more so, I think, in England, because, with the swinging ball, you need the best techniques. And he certainly has got, if not the best, one of the best. So maybe he could do this up there as well. But one of the best techniques in the South African side. So a huge loss, and not just that, also his his leadership abilities as well. So a huge loss for our test team. Having said that, there's a couple of guys there that could sort of fill that gap. I'm very keen to see how Keegan Peterson goes in this series. I think he's a serious player. I think it's a very, very good technique. And I think there it'll sort of suit his style of play, So not the suit just too dissimilar to South Africa. Paul maybe swings a bit more, but I think he's the sort of guy that is sort of up to the challenge. I see they're playing a game, a sort of warm-up game now, where the top order didn't really, our two openers got in Avia and Olga, but they had to get rescued a little bit down the order. I think Rassie van der Westhuizen will certainly play in my team. He gives you that sort of, he's pretty solid at the top. He can soak up pressure and he can sort of also, play the game later on down the line. I think we're going to be relying heavily on Dean Alba, his captaincy. I think runs from him in the series are going to be crucial. He is our senior player. He's our main guy. And when he plays well, South Africa play well. He gives you that sort of, you know, he gives that fight in the team and that never say die attitude. But there certainly is an opportunity. You know, Ryan Mickelson has been in great form in the UK. He's been playing a lot there. You know, does he get a go? I think he deserves a go. You know, Kai Zondo has just put up his hand again now, you know, with getting runs in the warm-up game. There are a few questions. I would go with Ryan Mickelson. I think he deserves his spot in that top order. Obviously, I think Dean and Sorrell are the two openers with Keegan Peterson coming in at three. And I think four, you'd have a Ryan Mickelson, and then maybe a four Rassie, five Ryan, depending. I don't think it makes too much difference. And then you've got to decide what you want to do. Do you want to play, you know, six would be either six or seven is Kyle Verena. Do you want to play an extra batter? Then Zondo plays at six, and then you've got Kyle Verena at seven, four bowlers. Is that risky with three seamers and a spinner? Especially if Rabada plays, because he's, you know, got that niggle, that injury. A few questions to be asked. But certainly that's the sort of lineup I'd go with.
How's your selection for Lords looking, John? Similar to Paul's?
Yes, I'm agreeing with him with Rickleton getting that opportunity. I think that, you know, obviously our rock at the top there, the two left-handers, huge Keegan, backing him as well in that position. He's done well there so far. But yeah, I think if you think from an English perspective, you know, I think if they want to get some early inroads and try and have a look at that bowling at number five and six, guys who would be fairly new to international cricket. The Zondo, the Rickleton, obviously we know that they are solid players, but at that level, they haven't really played any cricket there. So that's going to be a real test for them. And that's somewhere, I think, where the Englishmen are going to try and really dominate those type of players. And hopefully they're up for the fight and can get through and keep building their reputation.
Test cricket, of course, is all about taking 20 wickets to win the match. And I'm quite liking the idea of South Africa playing two spinners, Maharaj and Harmer. Obviously, if conditions suit, if it's going to be a seam-friendly pitch, then no. But that also then means that you left with Rabada. I like the idea of Marco Jansen bringing the left-arm variation. And then one other paceman, which would be presumably Anrich Nokeer or Lungi and Ngidi. But that then means that if you're going to field that attack, then someone like Marco Jansen has got about seven. Paul, would you be confident that between, say, Jansen at seven, Harmer eight, Maharaj nine, Rabada 10, that all adds up to like a bowling all-rounder?
Yeah, I think so. It just depends whether you're going to play both the spinners. I think that makes a big difference, because if you have to play the extra seamer, then I think it weakens the batting lineup. Because Harmer would then sit out. So I think then it would weaken it. When I look at it and I look at the inexperience in the middle order, I get very worried with just six batters, with the keeper at six, and then your all-rounder at seven. But then I also have to toss it up and say, you know, is three seamers enough? The wickets that have been pretty flat in England, three seamers and a spinner, is that enough? If one goes down, you're in terrible trouble. So it's a tough one, I must admit. I think that with that particular sort of selection, if you ask 10 people, you might get sort of, you know, five on an answer, you know, 50-50 either way, whether to play the seven batters or the, you know, the sort of extra all-rounder. I think the way they will go, I think they'll play the six batters. I think they will they're hoping it's going to be pretty dry, and they can play the two spinners, and then it allows them to play, you know, sort of two spinners in Kesh and Harmer as your sort of extra batter together.
Yeah, John, how much of a help is it that we've mentioned Simon Harmer? He's having another great county season over there with Essex. Ryan Rickleton hasn't played much for Northamptonshire, but seems to make 100 just about every second innings for them. Keegan Peterson has had a taste of county cricket. How much does that help to have guys in the squad? And obviously we've had guys involved in the White Ball series, I think, as you mentioned earlier, who should also be pretty well acclimatised.
Yeah, it's a great help for those players. It's a great help for our national setup for the guys to get as much game time over there as possible. Obviously, all the counties are quite keen to sign a lot of South African singers, though they're out there most of the summer. So it works out pretty well for the counties as well as our national players getting all that exposure. You know, obviously there's lots of video footage and things like that. So I would think that, you know, some of those England guys would have done a bit of homework, taken some video footage, had a look at Rickleton, see what he's up to, Peterson, the short time he was there, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, I think that it's a time for us to get our guys in, and it's also, I suppose, an opportunity for them to also have a look at some areas they need to bowl at the newer players they haven't been accustomed bowling to yet.
So three tests coming up between South Africa and England. The first one starting at Lord's on August 17th. The second is at Old Trafford in Manchester from August 25th. And then the final test starts at the Oval on September 8th. Paul Harris, do you have a prediction for us for the test series?
Sure. I think it's going to be very close. I don't think one team will sort of run away with it. I don't see that happening. I think that England are favourites. So my head is saying England will win 2-1. But my heart is saying South Africa are going to pull one out the bag and surprise them and beat them 2-1.
Great. John Kent, how confident are you in the Proteas test side?
Yeah, we're good confidence. They're doing well in the test championship. They've done exceptionally well under Dean Elgar, and he is once again going to lead from the forefront. I think looking at form, looking at, you know, experience and versus lack of experience in both the sort of lineups, I'm also going to go with the 2-1 to England. There's going to be no draws unless there's the biggest rainfall ever. The way they play, English play their cricket, the way they're playing shots, you know, we're going to have a few games ending quite early, I think, and hopefully in our favour.
Great. Well, I'm looking forward to the Proteas strangling England. Let them come at us. Let them play aggressively. And hopefully it will cost them. So we're looking forward to a fantastic test series. Thank you very much to Paul Harris and John Kent. And thank you to you, our listener, for listening to us. Don't forget that you can subscribe to the Dot Ball podcast. And you can also follow us on Twitter, which is also at Dot Ball podcast. Do drop us a note, and if you'd like us to discuss anything or have any questions, please feel free. Until then, chat to you next time. Goodbye.